7. Royal Palace, City of Telisburg, Kingdom of Carus.
So, Merlin, what interesting things have you been seeing lately? King Caleb's smile was crooked as he and his personal bodyguard stood on the palace balcony while night settled in. Caleb often dined in his chambers, and his valet, Galvin Dakin, had just finished supervising the removal of the supper table. He'd be back shortly to oversee Caleb's preparations for bed. Neither Caleb nor his father had ever seen any reason to maintain the army of personal servants some other rulers, especially on the mainland, required to wait upon their every need. But Dakin had been with Caleb since he was a boy. Breaking him of the habit of making certain the young master had brushed his teeth before turning in was a far more formidable challenge than the mere bagatelle of dealing with the group of four. Now Caleb shook his head in fond exasperation, then drew a deep, lung-swelling breath as he and Merlin gazed out over his capital city. Whatever might be happening in the temple, and whatever might be happening in the halls of diplomacy throughout Safehold, the Telisburg waterfront was a hive of activity. The destruction of their enemies' fleets had freed the merchant ships which had been huddled at wharfside and lying to anchor off the idled port while they waited out the war. Now, all of those ships' owners were frantic to get them back out to sea with the cargoes which had accumulated in Telisburg's warehouses. And the possibility that the ports of Haven and Howard might be closed against them undoubtedly played a part in their thinking, Merlin thought. They wanted to get their cargoes landed, sold, and paid for before any embargo was proclaimed. It's going to be interesting to see if Hausman's predictions about trade patterns hold up, he reflected. Actually, I've seen quite a few interesting things, he said aloud in a mild tone. I'm planning on writing them, most of them up for Benjamin. I assume you want the summary version? You assume correctly. Caleb turned, leaning back against the balcony's waist-high balustrade and propping his elbows on it, to gaze at Merlin. He'd never heard of self-navigating autonomous reconnaissance and communication platforms, nor had he ever heard of the almost microscopically small parasite sensors a snark could deploy. But, like his father before him, he'd come to rely on the accuracy of Merlin's visions. And unlike most of the other handful of people who knew about those visions, Caleb had a very shrewd notion that there was nothing particularly miraculous about them, although there was the tiny problem that Merlin had explained they violated the prescriptions of Zhuo Zheng, which, miraculous or no, would have made them and Merlin anathema in the eyes of the Inquisition. Continuing to accept Merlin's aid after discovering that minor fact hadn't been the easiest thing Caleb Armagh had ever done in his life, but he was no more inclined than his father had ever been to look back and second-guess his decisions. "Where would you like me to start?" Merlin asked politely. "Well, you could begin with Queen Charlene, I suppose, if, of course, there's not something more interesting you want to tell me about." Caleb's expression was almost as pointed as his tone, and Merlin chuckled. Marriage of state or no, Caleb was remarkably nervous about the Chisholmian queen's reaction to his proposal. The fact that he'd never even seen a portrait of her didn't appear to make his internal butterflies any smaller or better behaved either. "He really is very young for a reigning king, isn't he?" Merlin thought. Then his chuckle faded. "And he's awfully young to be making a cold-blooded political marriage. Of course, I think he's going to be pleasantly surprised when he finally gets a look at her."